Welcome to Prima's 2024 podcast series. My name is Shonda Ragland. I am the Senior Director of Education and Training at Prima. On this Prima podcast, Natalia Subushev will discuss what is at risk, the importance of accurate property values. Natalia is the Executive Vice President of Appraisals International. We will also be joined by Prima's Education Coordinator, Taekwon Gilbert. Taekwon will moderate the discussion. Enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for joining us today, Natalia.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. So to start, what is the role of property appraisals in risk management?
Well, first of all, thank you again for this opportunity to talk about property appraisals and their role in risk management, specifically public sector risk management. It is a very important topic for me, and I believe that it's a very relevant topic for the audience and the listeners as well. Property insurance and property appraisals might not be the hot topic of the risk management world nowadays, but they should be one of them. Given the ever-increasing property values, the volatility of insurance rates, etc., also most hot topics talked about cyber risks, political upheavals, wars, climate change, the pandemic, and related supply chain issues. Most of these have a property risk aspect to them. Anyway, let's look at the big picture. Given the topic, risk management, and zoom to today's topic, property appraisals, as we go, if you agree. The universe of risk management, whether we're talking about enterprise risk management or traditional risk management, is very comprehensive and includes, of course, the identification, analysis, and response to the risk factors that form part of the operation and life of an organization. The role of risk managers is therefore very complex, because you, and kudos to all of you, have the tough task of making sure that the risk management goals and objectives, even the day-to-day work, are aligned with and assisted by other departments and match and align with the overall objectives and risk appetite of the entire public sector organization. So where do property or insurance appraisals fit into this complex universe of risk management? The holistic, newer approach, enterprise risk management, defines four quadrants of risk: hazard, operational, financial, and strategic. What we want to focus on today, because we're talking about property appraisals, that's the relevant quadrant, which is hazard risk. Traditional risk management concerns itself with hazard risks that provide the potential for only a negative outcome, a potential for loss. There's no opportunity for gain, basically, only the possibility to return to a pre-loss state for the organization. These losses might impact property, liability, personal, or net income. The role of risk managers is to identify, as I mentioned, analyze, and manage these risks or loss exposures. And that's not an easy task. Now, let's further zoom into or focus on property losses, putting aside, in this discussion at least, liability, personal, and net income risks. When identifying and analyzing property risks, the risk managers look at three things. One, the asset exposed to loss. Two, the cause of loss. And three, the financial consequences. The asset could be anything of value. It could be a tangible asset, intangible asset. The cause of loss or peril, as it's called in the insurance world, could be anything from fire, theft, earthquake, etc. And the third thing, financial consequences, when we are talking about property loss or within a tangible property, is basically the value of the asset and consequential losses. After identifying and analyzing hazard risk, risk managers then make a decision. Again, in alignment with other departments and the organization's objectives and goals. They make a decision on how to manage these risks. One option is avoidance, which is not really an option when we're talking about property, unless the said property is disposed of, sold, for example. The second option, when it comes to managing property risk, is modifying the likelihood and impact. Safety, loss control departments, really these third-party providers can help with this. Hazard, including property risks, might also be retained, that's the third option, through self-insurance or other, or transferred, insurance being the most common transfer mechanism, as you know. Again, whether retention or transfer is applied, or a combination of both, risk managers and organizations need to know what asset is exposed to loss and what the value is from a potential financial consequence perspective. And that's expressed in replacement cost or actual cash value. I'm going to talk about those two values later. Whatever type of tangible asset we're talking about, whatever the premise of value might be, the objective of insurance or property appraisals is to provide an expert opinion of value, an accurate and reliable estimate of the insurable value of a property exposed to loss. So going back to your question, Taegun, what is the role of property appraisals in risk management? One risk quadrant of enterprise risk management is hazard risk, the type of risk that traditional management is concerned with. The role of the risk managers, again, is to identify, analyze, and manage loss exposures, such as property, personal, and net income risk. Relative to property risk, the risk managers looks at the asset exposed to the loss or the peril, the potential cause of loss, and the financial consequences. And the role of property or insurance appraisals is to assist risk managers with the identification by creating an inventory of properties exposed to loss and provide the value of these assets in order to define the financial consequences of a loss and manage them the best way possible.
What are the challenges that public sector risk managers might be facing when determining insurable values?
That's a very, very interesting question. It's always worthwhile to talk about challenges. First of all, there is no other sector, no other type of organization that have this degree of complexity and diversity when it comes to assets, including buildings, infrastructure, equipment, vehicles, etc. Just to mention a few, and this is going to be familiar to all of you, there are city halls, municipal facilities, parks, cemeteries, water treatment facilities, bridges, transportation facilities, fire halls, etc., etc. These assets, the buildings and their contents, have diverse characteristics, functions, locations, even ownership and insurable interests. And guess what? The diversity is also reflected in the way insurable value should be calculated. Basically, no one-size-fits-all approach. The second challenge, I would say, is that the data that is available for a risk manager to estimate insurable value might be outdated, incomplete, inconsistent, and/or inaccurate. Geographic variations, for example, might not be factored in, or the data might not be refined enough to reflect these. And those can have significant impact when it comes to insurable value. Another related challenge that risk managers face is that certain cost elements that impact insurable value or replacement costs might not be considered. Building codes, bylaws change. The additional cost of demolition and debris removal could be considerable, for example, and vary based on the area and concentration. These are just examples, and these are costs to be accounted for. When we talk about equipment values, especially major equipment, the replacement cost should include the cost of an equipment of the same or similar make, model, capacity, size, and/or function, including the cost of installation, freight, currency exchange, duties, and taxes if applicable. Now, let's talk about the challenges of the value update process once we already have an insurable value to work with, ideally to be done on a manual basis. If an appraisal had been done in the past but is outdated, the risk manager may use publicly available index factors to update the values. Again, these factors vary based on construction type, occupancy, regional differences, and the type of equipment when we talk about equipment. Just to add to the list of considerations, leased assets, big or small, anything from IT equipment, forklifts to buildings. The public sector entity might or might not be responsible to insure these based on the arrangement between the lessor and the lessee. Definitely requires some looking into. to stay on top of it all, I would say it's not an easy task. Addressing the above challenges requires in-house or third-party resources, of course, the input of various departments and support, definitely.
What are risk managers' options when calculating the value of insurable property?
There are several costing sources and approaches that risk managers might use in calculating or in estimating insurable value. Acquisition cost or original construction cost being one. These might be a good base if the asset was recently acquired or constructed. However, the additional cost elements mentioned before might have to be accounted for. Just to repeat again, demolition and debris removal for buildings, for example, installation, freight for equipment. Book value is another option. Book value is basically the cost at the time of acquisition, plus any improvements and additions, minus depreciation or impairment. This clearly does not reflect the current replacement cost of an asset and should not be used to calculate or estimate insurable value. Market value is another premise of value. Market value does not only account for the cost of the asset, but also for the income generated by the asset, if any, and market conditions such as supply, demand, market comparables. These latter two approaches, income generation and market conditions, have nothing to do with insurable value or replacement cost and are not relevant when it comes to replacing an asset with a similar asset of like kind and quality, the cost approaches. And finally, replacement cost or actual value are the relevant and correct, what we call premises of value when it comes to property risk management and insurance. For simple buildings, a cost per square foot approach might work. For equipment, recent acquisitions of similar assets might be the best reference. Anything beyond these simple scenarios, I would definitely recommend engaging an independent expert third-party appraisal service provider. Previously, we talked about updating previous values. As long as the update factors are accurate, up-to-date, and refined, in the case of buildings, they reflect construction cost changes, labor condition changes. This method is acceptable for a period of about 3 to 5 years from the time of the original appraisal or determination of replacement costs. After a few years, a reappraisal is recommended due to asset changes, and to account for cost variances, a simple update might not catch. Again, to summarize, acquisition or original construction cost, book value or market value are not the right value approaches when it comes to estimating insurable values of assets. The cost approach is the best way to estimate the replacement, reproduction, or actual cash value of a public sector asset.
What are the benefits of an insurable value estimate by an independent appraisal company?
The answer to this question ties into the points brought up earlier. The quick answer, an accredited appraisal can help to determine up-to-date accurate insurable values. That's the benefit. Now, what are the benefits for the public sector entity? First, it increases underwriters' confidence in the property risk. In certain cases, helps to avoid penalty clauses such as coinsurance or margin clauses. Also, an appraisal provides an inventory of the insurable asset, very important. It also helps in defining the value of the asset exposed to the loss. We mentioned this before. Therefore, if you're talking about insurance, it contributes to a fair, reasonable premium and adequate management of risks in general. This is not something that is widely talked about, but basically, the onus and the liability related to the determination of insurable value is transferred from the public sector entity to a third party when an appraisal company is engaged or authorized to proceed. What are additional benefits of an appraisal? Also, value updates. Periodic value updates done by expert appraisers will consider factors that do impact the insurable value changes, but might go unaccounted for otherwise. We talked about bylaws, equipment installation costs, etc. Finally, very important, appraisal services are done in compliance with very strict appraisal standards, ensuring not just high level of expertise, but quality, accuracy, and ethical standards.
What resources and processes are involved in getting a professional valuation?
That's a very good question. Obtaining a professional insurance valuation involves a process that includes several steps from quote requests or RFPs all the way to the provision of appraisal report. I cannot emphasize enough that the clear communication of expectations, including clear scope of work, project timelines, information requests, is essential for a time-efficient, successful appraisal project for both parties. So what are the main steps in the appraisal process, once authorized, of course? Project kickoff meetings to discuss scope of work, timelines, again, information requests, et cetera, et cetera. Data collection. The scope of our work is very comprehensive. Imagine we include all specified insurable assets, encompassing buildings, equipment, furniture, IT equipment, in certain cases, construction in progress, and stock and supplies. Therefore, we try to obtain as much information as possible, even prior to the site visit, which in turn will optimize our and the site contact's time on site. It's very important. The data collection process or request might include the gathering of the following. We might request architectural drawings, fixed asset records, machinery and equipment listings, specialized content listing, IT equipment information, et cetera, et cetera. The next step in this process for us appraisers is a site visit coordination. We try to obtain primary contacts for departments, relevant site contact information, and of course, collaboratively establish the site visit schedule. The final phase, the actual valuation, the office work, and preparation of the insurance appraisal report is a step that actually involves minimal assistance from the client, but it takes the most time. So, back to the question, what are the resource requirements of the appraisal process? From the part of the public sector entity, the resources needed are, of course, financial resources. It's an investment. Professional fees and disbursements, meaning travel expenses when it comes to appraisal providers, and human resources. Purchasing, procurement will be involved in the RFP process or procurement process, for example. Risk management, insurance department, of course, manages it all. Other departments involved in the site visit coordination and data collection might be facilities management for building, finance department for the fixed asset records, stock and supplies information, etc. Engineering team when we focus on the machinery equipment, and IT department for IT equipment. I have to add, this seems a lot, but there are similar resource needs that need to be budgeted or planned for if the municipality or public sector entity opt for determining insurable values without involving an independent third party. The distribution of these resources might be a bit different, but essentially, property risk management takes knowledge, time, and effort. In sum, what I try to convey in this podcast is that property appraisals have a very important part in risk management, in particular in identifying and managing well diverse property risks in the public sector.
We've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please visit the Prima website to hear other Prima podcasts, view upcoming Prima webinars, read Prima blogs, and learn about other Prima educational resources. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and our very own Prima Talk. Have an amazing day.